Packs of gray wolves once roamed widely across North America. But European settlers cast wolves as destructive vermin that should be wiped out, and during the 20th century, they nearly were. Gradually, opinions changed. In 1974, wolves were protected under the Endangered Species Act, and in the 1990s, they were successfully reintroduced into the Northern Rockies. Over the last 3 years, wolves have been delisted in most northwestern states, and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service now proposes to remove protection altogether. But gray wolves are still missing from much of their historic range, and an independent review panel says the move is premature. Bob Wayne, conservation geneticist at UCLA, was one of the reviewers. Hi there, Bob.
Hey there.
What's the current situation of gray wolves in the U.S.?
There are three so-called recovered populations in the American West, and, various debate about whether they're really recovered or not, but they've been delisted by a act of Congress, actually, a rider and a budget amendment. And then the bulk of wolves are actually in Minnesota, the Great Lakes area, and they probably number more than 4,000.
And what about the Northeast?
Well, there's nothing in the Northeast, so to speak of. There are larger canids that are coyote-like, but that may be crosses between coyotes and gray wolves.
Now, what is the basis that the Fish and Wildlife Service is using for its decision to delist the gray wolf for all of the U.S.?
The usual procedure is to delist when your populations are recovered and they've met some kind of numerical target. In this case, they're delisting because of a taxonomic change. And this taxonomic change involves reconsidering what the gray wolf is, and especially the gray wolf in the Great Lakes area and that inhabited the East Coast historically, as a different species, Canis lycaon, the eastern wolf.
Now, for folks who don't remember their biology, what's taxonomic mean?
Taxonomic just means where it's classified in the taxonomic hierarchy. Like dogs are, often considered a kind of wolf, Canis lupus, where Canis is the genus name and lupus is the species name. In this case, the eastern wolf is considered a separate species with its own species name, Canis lycaon. Previously, all those wolves were considered as part of the gray wolf, Canis lupus.
So, how does this redefinition of the eastern wolf affect this whole delisting process?
Surprisingly, it causes Canis lupus not to be listed because it's an invalid taxon. That is, previously, as listed in 1975, it contained the full range of the gray wolf in the United States and Canada, and that also included the Great Lakes area and 22 eastern states. And so if there was a different wolf living there during that time, in other words, Canis lycaon was never listed as an endangered entity, and so therefore whatever wolf is living in the East Coast and the Great Lakes area isn't protected under the Endangered Species Act.
When was the last time the Fish and Wildlife Service delisted a critter because they changed the taxonomy?
I can't think of any example. And so this sets a very dangerous precedent in my view. And to me, it's a bit of a taxonomic sleight of hand that clearly the evidence isn't strong enough for doing this kind of very dramatic action. And that was the unanimous view of the panel.
What is the science behind this declaration that there is a new wolf?
Well, it's controversial, and the funny thing about the composition of this panel, it was myself, who represents a group that feels the eastern wolf is not a distinct species, but just an interesting variety of the gray wolf, and my, opponent, Paul Wilson, was also on the panel, who recognizes this eastern wolf as a distinct species, and we were both really in agreement, and that was premature to really make any taxonomic decisions now.
What kind of information were you folks on the panel presented with?
The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service kept together a panel of their biologists, and they wrote a long review that made the argument that this was a separate species in the East Coast and published it in a Fish and Wildlife Service journal called Flora and Fauna that hasn't published anything since 1991, so they kind of reinvigorated this journal to publish this long review. So we provided that, and then a proposed rule change that delisted the eastern wolf that was published in the Federal Register that largely just repeated the arguments in this huge review that was published in Flora and Fauna. That was our principal material that was provided to us. And we were to judge whether the arguments were scientifically valid, and we felt that they did not represent the best science. And I think we're in agreement also, we're on sort of the cusp of producing new studies that, like in humans, use complete genome sequence information to provide a much more definitive picture and test of the hypothesis that this Eastern form is really different.
Action had been taken to try to begin reintroducing the wolf in Maine. What would it have done?
You know, I think the gray wolf, when reintroduced back into Yellowstone, everyone agrees that there was a dramatic ecological effect of reintroduction of the gray wolves. They controlled elk, they changed elk behavior, that reduced grazing pressure, brought back trees, changed the whole trophic structure of the Yellowstone ecosystem. That's what many people believe. I think such beneficial changes might occur in the East Coast as well. I used to live in Massachusetts, and there's clearly a deer problem there. And to think that gray wolves could be reintroduced to parts of New England and New York, and that potentially they would add some biological control, change habitats, I think that's pretty exciting.
Bob Wayne is a conservation geneticist at UC Los Angeles. Thanks so much for taking the time with me today.
You're welcome. Glad to do it.